How's it going? How you been?
Let's get started.
What's scrapping?
Yo, yo.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. Whether mount or off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't shit.
Motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps. We are still in beautiful Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. It's a beautiful day in Viva Las Vegas. Man, I'm still on the high from June 6th. I don't know about you guys, but I'm still on the high. You know, it's not every day you choke out the number four guy in the world in about 88 seconds. I'm just saying, no big deal. You know, he's a killer, and to take out a killer, you know, it's kind of a big deal. But I'm just going to put that out there. But on another note, big congrats to our guy, Mirau Dvalishvili. Huge win, short notice. Obviously, he's an unranked guy coming in short notice himself. Lopez taking a fight on short notice. Technically 2 days. That is a big step up, and I don't know if I would ever want to make my debut on short notice against a guy like Mirau. That's a guy you would need a full training camp for, but kudos to Gustavo. He went out there like a champ, and he took the beating like a man, and no complaints about it. You know, he endured a lot of punishment. I was really excited, jumping out of my seat cornering, thinking that Mirau was going to get that scarf hold that he's gotten me with, and when I say he's a motherfucker, that shit hurts. Your whole spine is compressed, going, it's bending, which is okay. It's like doing a crunch. It's okay to bend that way. But he's bending while laying all his weight on you. His feet is off the ground. He's crushing your chest cavity. And he's pulling your head up and cranking it down, putting your chin to your chest. And it's very, very painful. And he does kind of like the Homer Simpson thing where with your feet. So he's crunching so hard, you start slapping your feet on the ground. It's very, very painful. Not a fun situation to be in. And I remember one of the times I was in there squirming the same way Gustavo was trying to throw punches and trying to get the hell out of there, rightfully so. It's just not comfortable at all, especially with a guy with a grip like Mirau. And he tried to trap the arm. And in my head, all I'm screaming is, Americana with the legs, 50 Gs, baby. And unfortunately, he didn't get the finish. Gustavo toughed it out. Kudos to him, man, because that's not an easy position to get out of. I've probably been there with a five-minute round with Mirau before. You know, if I get lazy, and I never do this again, obviously, for obvious reason. So if I get there and he sets up shop and I can't move, I know I'm going to be there for at least 3.5-4 minutes of the round, because obviously it takes a little bit to get into the position. We scramble a little bit, and Mirau can do some crafty things. Sometimes I just pull guard because I just want to get the action going. Otherwise, we'll both be on our knees just fighting each other, and no one gets the takedown. So, you know, I'll just pull guard to initiate the action. And of course, like I said, if he gets and passes doing the crazy passes that he does, and he lands into that side control position, best believe I don't hang out there anymore. I'd rather give up my back and fight from there than to sit there in side control, letting him get the opportunity. You can see my excitement when I'm like, get it. It's almost there. It's there. Finish it. You know, I was going nuts. But big win for him. You know, of course, this whole thing, I think we got out here to Vegas May 28th for my fight. Got a little bit earlier to get acclimated. Now, the following week, I'm cutting weight. I think it was a Thursday, getting close to my weight cut. And I say to my manager at the time, who was there at the time, Lloyd Pearson, and I ask him, like, what do we got to do to get this guy a fight? He wants to fight. He's been asked for a fight for God knows how long, and it doesn't seem like anybody wants to fight him. And he just goes, you want to fight? And he goes, yeah, I want to fight. And he goes, okay, let me text Sean right now. He texts Sean. I shit you not, 2 hours later, Mirau has a freaking fight with Ray Borg. Insane. Incredible, actually. So he has a big fight, big opportunity. Second, he's the fight right before the co-main event. Obviously, Ray Borg had some situation come up with his kids, so he had to go home, pulled out a fight. Kudos to him because, you know, obviously being a family man, kids do come first. Health is wealth, obviously. And he went back to New Mexico. and Marab was scrambling around for an opponent. They were able to find a guy who lives out here in Vegas, in Gustavo, and that's how that fight came out. So for Marab to go from in training camp helping me out the entire time, the entire focus has been me, and then Marab gets the fight, then he's pretty much on. I mean, it was a Thursday, so like 9 days notice to cut weight down to 135. Gustavo, and I will not lie, it was a tough weight cut for him to do it that short of a notice, because it's that short of a notice. The guy was eating. We just finished eating food, and they're with me. And next thing you know, you get the phone call for a weight cut. Now he has to stop eating. But, yeah, you know, we had the catch weight at 140, and from there it was just smooth sailing. So, special fight. I think he is now on a 4-fight win streak. Marab, if I'm not mistaken, I believe so. I would have to double check on that, but I think, yeah, Terrion Weir, Brad Katona, Casey Kenny, and now Gustavo. So 4-5 win streak. So big shout out to our guy. Now we're coming into this week 5. Now, am I missing somebody? Oh, could be, should be 5. It should be actually undefeated. Honestly, we're looking at all the fights, you know, Frankie Sines and those guys, it should be 5. Should be undefeated. You know, only 6 fights in the UFC bantamweight division, in the UFC. And he's already got the record for takedowns. Put that into perspective. GSP all-time record, I believe, is like 92 over the span of like 22 fights. Marab has 6 fights in the UFC, and he's already at like 50-something. That says a lot. And he's only getting better, and he has a lot more wrestling to do in these fights. So good luck for anybody who's trying to break that record, because I already, at this point, I'm like, hey, dude, you can have it. I'm not even trying to compete with that anymore, because, you know, I just want to get in, choke him out, and get the hell out of here. So after the fight, after Morales fight, we got, you know, took care of business. Big media obligations for myself. You know, I couldn't do too much because I was trying to help Marab out during his fight week, because, you know, he helped me out during my training camp. And I got booked for a podcast called In the Weeds. A friend of mine, Matty Rich, hooked it up for me. I never heard of it, but he was, you know, said these were good guys to that he wanted to take care of and get me on a podcast for them. And I said, yeah, no doubt, you know, a friend of your friend is my friend. So I kind of wanted to, I don't want to say do the right thing, but check his guys out, you know. So that was actually turned out to be really, really fun. So I definitely appreciate the connection from Matt, because, you know, you get a lot of people who reach out to you, want to do stuff constantly. And it's a lot of times it's a big waste of time, or people are just kind of doing the podcast for a hobby. And they're not really putting the time into it. So if you're not putting the time into it, it's kind of a waste of time for me to put time aside for me to give you half hour, 45 minutes, an hour of my life, sometimes even longer than that. So I don't like to get on things that's going to be dead in the water in like a month or two. You know, so these guys seem to be pretty good. It seems like they got a promising platform. The studio, everything was up to par, and they took us out. They courted myself and Pumi. I was going to bring my girlfriend, Rebecca. She couldn't go because she had work. So I asked Al. He couldn't go because he had to get some therapy stuff done. So I said, oh, shit, Pumi, you want to go? These guys are paying for 2 flights. Pumi comes out with me. Boom, we're in San Diego having a blast. We go to El Chigón restaurant. These guys are giving us the full court press with the courting. And we stay at a nice hotel. We stay down in the Gaslamp District, Hotel Z, Stay Pineapple, something like that. Really nice spot. But I was just blown away by the business aspect of how these guys handle everything from the day-to-day logistics of stuff. And I'm very much interested in getting involved with these guys. El Chigón, Havana 1920, and I think there's another one called Mesa Fusion. I didn't get to go there, but I got to check out the other spots, and I got to check out the studio. So I'm definitely planning on doing some stuff with those guys in the future. They got some stuff down in the pipeline that we were planning to talk about. And obviously for me, I said, let me win the belt, hold my end of the bargain, so I could really bring some extra. Like, I'm pretty sure I could bring some name value now, but the belt, it's obviously the highest of the highest. So I want to make sure I get that done. And then I think the world is my oyster at that point, you know? So if I'm getting this much attention now from people that I guess starting to take notice, which is good, never a bad thing, you know, the fruits of my labor, worked really hard to get here. To win the belt, I could only imagine what that's going to do. I actually finally got through my Instagram DMs today. Unreal. Finally got through them all. And, you know, I try to respond to as many people as I could, but obviously I got a life to live too, and I run my own social media account. So when you guys do get a response or you do get a like, it is from myself. Because some people say, you know, I don't know who's running the account, but I thank you anyway. I appreciate this. But for you guys who didn't know, it is actually myself. So So yeah, we hang out there. Then we did the In the Weeds podcast. The next day, Wednesday morning, we take a car from Brendan Shaw's Food Truck Diaries. Malcolm Sports, they hooked it up. They sent me from there. It was actually a much shorter drive than I expected, 2 hours from San Diego. I guess without the traffic, with the quarantine traffic, we hit LA. Brendan Shaw comes in. We record for the Food Truck Diaries. My second time being on there. And it seemed like it might be a little bit of good luck. So I don't know. You know, the next one could be the big one. And from there, maybe I'm a third-time guest. So we go from there. We got some good food, good eats. And it's just good to kind of do, like, the whole touring thing and really getting some love for, like I said, the fruits of your labor. Getting some work for everything that I put in. So I'm in a good position right now. I'm excited. Now I'm back in Vegas. I got back yesterday morning. So I book it Airbnb. And we drop our stuff off. We go hang out with our guy, J-Rock. And we go to the resort, Lake Resort, Las Vegas, Lake Las Vegas Resort, some shit like that. Paddleboarding. We're hanging out. He's got his yacht over there that I guess, I don't know if they rented or how that whole thing works. But he's got his yacht. He's got his friends, one of his girlfriends, her birthday. And we're all hanging out. And we end up getting some food. But then we dropped off our stuff at the Airbnb. We go there for the rest of the day. We go back to the house. Now, just want to relax, chill out, take a shower, go to bed. So I jump into bed, just relaxing for a little bit. And sure enough, I take my laptop, the bright-ass light, I look to my right. As I turn, there are creepy crawlers in my bed scurrying. And I'm like, I jump up. I shit you not, man. You know, I don't mean to come off like a little pansy, but I was definitely a little nervous about that. I was like, dude, oh, these things are my clothes. Are they in my suitcase? Because my stuff, I left it there all day. The last thing I want to do is take home some Las Vegas roaches to freaking Long Island. That's not what I'm trying to do. So sure enough, I had to hit up the Airbnb people. Like, dude, I want a refund. Canceling this shit. I told them why. !! Roaches on the freaking wall. They get out of the bed. Somehow they're on the wall in a matter of like a minute after I'm like shaking out the bed. I'm thinking like maybe it's just like one. Nah, it's just like a baby one here, a medium-sized one here, the big one under the blanket. And I was like, ah, fuck this. I'm out. I am out. So Al actually had a spot that canceled out today. So I was able to go stay there, crash on the couch for the night. And we actually just booked into a new Airbnb. I will give these guys credit. I was debating whether or not to like, you know, throw these guys under the bus. And they reached out to me today. You know, I checked out yesterday, asked for a refund to Airbnb and to them. And they called me apologizing, you know, super apologetic, you know, the tone of their voice, sincerity, I can hear it. And they was like, you know, we never expected that. We didn't know that about that at all. But for me, it's kind of hard to believe because there's so many of them in there. But whatever. Super apologetic is like, we're going to spray it down immediately. We'll give you a full refund. We'll let Airbnb know. And on top of that, we'll give you two free nights stay at any one of our units. Because I guess they got multiple units in that same apartment complex. I was like, all right, that's cool. I appreciate that. I'm a little skeptical and a little skeeved out to know if I want to go to any of the other ones. But I asked him if he had any other units elsewhere. And I think he said yes. But he said two free nights. So I appreciated that, you know. So it is what it is. But now we're here. Nice little Airbnb in this spot. Not the most decorative, but it's cozy, it's nice, and it works. I'm not bougie, man. I grew up with roaches, I grew up with rats, I grew up with mice. I don't need to be living with them for a house that I'm paying $500 for 3 nights. You know, 3 nights, I don't need to be living with roaches and rat and shit like that. You know what I mean? So money well spent. We're in this other place, and it's a lot better, a lot cleaner in terms of that. Doesn't seem to be infested anywhere. Could be wrong. Nah, it's nice. So hanging out, want to go to the beach, but man, not the beach, the pool. But I think that's only to residents of this place. But I don't know, maybe I can fit in. Maybe I could blend in. Other than that, man, we're here kicking it. We did some house shopping today. I think I might have convinced Aya Quinta to make the move down to Vegas too. So it's actually pretty funny because the street that I'm on, we go back today and we look at some houses and we go back to the same street and we go, oh, this is my block. And we go look at a house and it looks like it is the front runner right now. So we can actually be like four houses down the block from each other, which is hilarious because we can both go on our balconies and be like, yo, I'm coming over, which would be cool as fuck. So I'm trying to bring the whole team out here, man. We start up our own little thing, and I think that could be something very profitable and at the same time positive in terms of us staying together and building. Obviously, we're going to go back and forth, but we're going to try to make it work in the financial aspect. But I just think there's a lot of opportunity out here, especially for fighters. Houses are much cheaper at a more affordable price point out here in Vegas. Obviously, in New York, property taxes on one of my houses is $12,000 for the year. The other one for my mom's house is about $9,800 for the year. Property tax out here for the house that I'm looking at was $3,250, something like that, for the year. And one of the houses that we were looking at today, I think the property taxes were like $1,300 for like a 2,500 square foot home with four bedrooms. You know, so put that into perspective. Your money just goes a lot longer and things are just a lot more affordable. And I do have an HOA. My HOA is $15 a month, which is, come on. I could go on the corner and find $15, you know. Hey, spare change, you know, it is Las Vegas, you know. It's not that hard. But other than that, man, things are looking good. I'm feeling good. I got to get a little workout today, got a little pump in, working on my wrist, trying to really take this time to push the range of motion while I can. And from there, just get up and get ready to go for the next one. Other than that, let's get into some fight news. We got a big fight card coming up. Curtis Blaydes versus Alexander Volkov. Now, before we even get into that, I just want to touch base. Our guy, Matt Favola, against Frank Camacho. The fight got scrapped. Unfortunately, Billy Quarantillo, He got tested positive. Two results positive for coronavirus, COVID. So they pulled them and everybody else was negative, but because they were together, they think that it's just a false negative and it might come back. So just to be safe, they just scrapped the entire fight. Now Frank Camacho is fighting Roosevelt Roberts on short notice. This was a big fight for Volos to finally fight someone his height. He did fight Lando Venato, who was pretty much his height as well. But he's normally fighting the Jalen Turners. These guys were like 6'1", 6'2", and Favola's like 5'9", if that. 5'8", 5'9", in between there. 55er, but it is what it is. Unfortunately, the fight didn't get to happen. So we're going to see what's next for him. I have a feeling Roosevelt Roberts is going to call out Favola again should he go out there and get the win over Jim Miller. That's going to be a very interesting one to stay tuned in for. Now, let's get back to it. Curtis Blaydes versus Alexander Volkov. This is a big fight for the heavyweight division with probably title implications on the line. I know Volkov lost to Derek Lewis, and Derek Lewis had his title shot, fell short to Daniel Cormier. Now we have Curtis Blaydes fell short to the rematch with Francis Ngannou very early on in the first round, I think in like a minute. But he bounced back big. He did get some marquee wins over Junior Dos Santos. And I think the other one was Overeem. But I'm not sure. I think the Overeem was probably before. I think it was before. You know, it's hard to do this because I don't have the stats right here in front of me like I normally do.
You're correct. Yeah, first. So the Overeem fight was the fight prior before to Ngannou. And the Ngannou fight was under a minute. It was 45 seconds, actually, on the finish. Oof. And then the last three fights that he's had, Curtis Blaydes, the last one was JDS, was the win in a minute into the second round.
Yeah,
January 25th, Shamil Abdurakhimov.
Alphabet.
In September, and then Justin Big Pretty Willis back in March, which went to a decision. I mean,
surprisingly, he laid on him the entire time. I don't know. That was a weird one because I thought he would have ground upon him to get him out of there, but just really just Russell fucked him for 15 minutes. Hilarious.
Well, and then he came out on Twitter this week and said, if y'all are expecting to see anything different in the next 25 minutes of me fighting, don't watch.
Don't tune in.
So, I mean, hey, at least the guy's honest. He knows his style. He knows what he's coming in there to do.
Yeah, I will say at least he used the word ragdoll. So that kind of gives it a little bit more of a bad intention feel for the casual viewers who might not get excited about, hey, I'm going to just lay on this guy. So maybe, hopefully, people do tune in because this is a big fight. Volkov, he said he's fought wrestlers before. So I'm interested to see how this one goes. Can he use his reach, his long-rangey kicks and stuff to keep Curtis Blaydes at bay? Or would Blaydes take a page out of my book, cut him off, push forward, and take him down? He ain't going to backpack him, though. That's a big backpack.
Hey, ain't no, I think it's pretty clear, Aljo. Ain't nobody backpacks like the Funk. And if anyone tries, Demi and Maia, that's about it. I would, if Demi and Maia and Aljamain Sterling were in a grappling match, I don't know.
Formiga was a close second, I will say that. But he hasn't had the opportunity to get there of late. You know, so I definitely think the OG backpacks forever the OG. And I think the Young Funk is the new backpack in town, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think we're forgetting about Ryan Hall, too, you know, a very skilled BJJ practitioner.
The guy's he's a pole guarder, though. He's a butt scooter. We call those guys butt scooters.
Sounds you like know? Gordon Ryan. I like Ryan. Gordon Ryan, he's king of the butt scoot.
Yeah, I think Ryan Hall understands that he is a butt scooter. You know, he lures you in with the hook kicks or the jabs or the front kicks. You get over anxious, you run forward, he scoots underneath you. And if you get silly, he's going to tie you up and submit you. So you got to be smart about that. I mean, he submitted BJ Penn, who's supposed to be an extremely good high-level BJJ black belt, and turned the wrong way in a leg lock, you know, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think BJ Penn at 30 years old was a great black belt. I think BJ Penn outside of bars in Hawaii isn't the greatest black belt.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that's why it's always the context of things, man, because sometimes people just see the name and they think it's like this big thing, but it's a name in the context of when it happened. It's like fighting Floyd Mayweather fighting Pacquiao years later when everyone wants to see that fight from like... 10 years ago when both guys were like highly in their primes, and the fight didn't happen until like 10 years later. So
yeah, or the opposite, where he fought Canelo way early in Canelo's career, where he wasn't a threat at all. And now Canelo's, you know, top pound for pound, one of the best boxers in the game. But
yeah,
Floyd has a win over him. Cause guess what? Yeah. When he was 20 years old, he went in and got boxed up by Floyd. So
yeah, he took advantage of the situation.
So one last thing on this main event before we move on, and I thought it was funny that Ngannou actually quote tweeted the tweet, and I have it up here, and he said, so Curtis Blaydes' tweet was, FYI, if y'all were hoping to see a 25-minute stand-up war, you probably shouldn't tune into the main event because I fully intend on ragdolling my opponent. Just figured I'd let y'all know ahead of time. So Francis quote tweets it, and he goes, I know a little bit something about ragdolling somebody, hashtag uncrowned champ, and he did this face where he's like, so it's a little I love how Francis, as he learns English, he's just a little shit talker. I love it.
It's the subtleness, man. The subtleness, the subtle jabs, you know. It's but great. Big fight, man. Number 3, Curtis Blaydes versus number 8, Volkov.
Yeah, and so an interesting thing about that fight, and a point that I wanted to bring up, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So the Merab Dalashvili takedown total stands at 52. Among active fighters, the number 1 is Frankie Edgar with 68. On that same list is Curtis Blaydes at number 10 with 45. So
yeah, but how many fights Frankie Edgar had?
Right, I mean that's a
not even a comparison.
Right, I mean a takedown per fight, Merab is easily probably the best in the world, if not
100%
up there. But GSP was 90. You were right on that. So 90 exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know who I got. If I do have to pick someone in this, I like Curtis Blaydes in this. I think of late he's been looking good the last 3 fights. He does what he has to do. 25 minutes. We've seen Volkov pretty much outpoint Derek Lewis all up until the last like 20, 30 seconds of the 5th round. Or was that the 3rd round?
It was the last 10 seconds of the fight, really.
Yeah,
it was...
of the fight, which 3 round or 5 round. Either way, he caught him at the very end. I don't think Curtis Blaydes intends on doing anything like that besides shooting a takedown, ground and pounding him, smothering him, making him tired, and that's it. I just think if – you know what's interesting? Is that people might find Curtis Blaydes boring, but then they love Khabib.
Right. So, well, and Merab. I mean, but here's the thing, though. It's a stylistic difference because – Merab goes out there and has, you know, 52 takedowns in his career, but it's entertaining. It's a great fight. But if you go out there and you have 2 takedowns around and have 4 minutes of control time, it's a little different. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I definitely understand your point.
Yeah, I get you. I just think even like the Curtis Blaydes' win over Overeem.
Right.
Like, I want to see that kind of Curtis Blaydes. I don't want to see the Curtis Blaydes that what he did to Big Pretty. Big Willis. I don't want to see him doing that because that's not
– Right.
I get why the fans could get a little frustrated with that because it almost feels like you have the potential and the talent to finish and push the pace in the fight, but you're playing so overly safe that the fans – it's hard for them to get excited and get behind you. Obviously, if you're friends and family, you just want to see your guy win. But for the fans, the entertainment value, if you really want to catapult your name into that department, you have to give them something to get excited about. So I get it. I do hope that for this one, if he does get Volkov down, I don't think Volkov has – I don't think his jiu-jitsu is that great. I mean, I haven't really seen much of it.
No.
But we're going to find out because I guarantee he's getting taken down unless he could end a quick night like Francis Ngannou, but I highly doubt that. I think Curtis Blaydes definitely learned from that. And Francis Ngannou got a different kind of power. He clipped him behind the ear and man down, you know. He touches anybody, they're going down. Volkov, I don't know if he possesses that kind of power, but we do know he's sharp and accurate with his punches, his strikes.
Yeah, I thought the biggest telling thing for me was Volkov couldn't finish Greg Hardy in three rounds. So, I mean, to go from Greg Hardy to Curtis Blaydes is a huge step up, I think. Blaydes, especially with a smaller cage, possesses a lot of advantages. I don't really see Volkov being able to keep him at weight, keep him at measured. Obviously, the length is a big strength for Volkov, but in the small cage, Corey Sandhagen had a great length advantage against you. Wasn't a factor at all. So
just height.
That's important.
Height. Yeah, like 3-4 inches, they said, but the range was...
Not where it counts.
Yeah. that's what she said. Boom, boom, our next one, we got Josh Emmett versus Shane Burgos. This one is a fun fight. Emmett, 15-2, Burgos, 13-1. I think Emmett only lost to, in the UFC, Jeremy Stephens. Am I correct?
Yep, and Desi Green.
Oh, he did lose to Desi.
Yep,
he
back got, in oh, March of 2017.
Russell. He got Russell humped in that one.
Yeah, it was a split decision loss.
Yeah, I remember. I do remember that. He got Russell humped. Yeah, Desi does that to people. He's another one. He's like, he's my boy. He's like, dude, you're so good and so strong, athletically gifted. It's like, come on, man, open up a little bit because you can take a little chance. Take a little chance. You know? Yeah. But this is a fun one, man. Burgos is striking. Now, Emmett was losing that fight the entire time to Michael Johnson, and Johnson does this to everybody. He lights them up on the feet somehow, some way. This guy always finds a way to lose. And I love Johnson, but it's like, bro, come on. What is it? I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if it's a lack of focus. Or he probably, you know, because I did in college wrestle. And there was one kid who beat me 5 times before I finally beat him once. He was wrestling for Ithaca College, Chad Winovich.
Hey.
And, yeah. And there was, I think, 2, maybe 3 times in those 5 matches beforehand, before I finally beat him, that I was up going into the third. And somehow, some way, I get so excited in my head that I'm like, just don't lose. Don't give up a takedown. And you say it over and over, and then you project it, and you go, and you give up the takedown, and then I end up losing by a point or 2 points, or that tied match goes into a three-point deficit, and I'm just like... Jeez, man, what? Why do I keep having this brain fart and this mental lapse? So I can get that with Michael Johnson. It's just very unfortunate that he hasn't been able to get over that hump. Stevie Ray, this last one he just had with Thiago Moises, starching him on the feet. Well, I can't say starch because he didn't knock him out. But tuning him up on the feet, pretty good. The other one with Andre Feely, I think he ended up did winning that one with Andre Feely. But he's had some fights that were just like, dude, how do you lose these fights? Darren Elkins should have won that one as well. He beat Tony Ferguson, right? Beat Ferguson. He knocked out Poirier, interim champion, and he beat Barbosa.
He beat Barbosa.
Bro, come on.
And he beat the GOAT. He beat the fucking GOAT, Artem Lobov.
He beat Artem. Dude, I don't get it, you know. But back to Emmett, he was tuning him up, and then Emmett comes back and hits him with a vicious, I think it was a right hand, hand.
Overhand, slips. Right. That's the Josh Emmett formula right there.
Yeah, he just seems like a huge power puncher. And if you're there, man, he could touch you, then he could put you out. Burgos is slick with the boxing, nice head movement, doesn't kick very often, almost non-existent with the kicks coming from Tiger Sherman's karate. You would think he would, but just super well-schooled, slip, rip, body, headshots. That fight with him and Mir Kwani, that was a fun fight. Very, very fun fight. He had to deal with some early adversity with the grappling, but Makwan slowed down, got tired, and Burgos came back and just put it on him to exhaustion. You know, so this was it's kind of hard for me to say. I would say the cleaner striking is definitely Burgos, but that one punch knockout power, that powerhouse, super thick up top, he's like that Brendan Schaub thick with three C's, you know? So yeah.
More like Brendan Vera. Brendan Vera, heavyweight, bro. He's fucking jacked. So but yeah, this fight, to me, this fight comes down to two factors. So one is age. Emmett, 35 years old. At some point, as we both know, age doesn't have a slow way of coming on in the octagon. It's one day you're there and one day you're not. So I think while at the same time, he doesn't have the same like longevity or, you know, career history of most 35 year olds, you know, he's not that weathered. I think that that age kind of plays a factor because Shane's nickname is pretty appropriate. His name is nickname is Hurricane. I think his style is very much based upon how he fights. It's very much a hurricane. It's high volume. It's high speed, very technical, more agility based. And I think it weighs against everything that Emmett needs to do to win, which is counterpunch, hard power rights, and essentially just relying upon that ability to close out the show at any time. I just think Burgos has the ability to keep him at range, keep him outpointed. So I would lean with Burgos here just because of those reasons. But, I mean, that's a banger fight.
Yeah, whoever wins this is going to be catapulting themselves into that upper echelon of the UFC featherweight division, which has been kind of stale. And I don't mean stale in a disrespectful way. I mean stale in the terms of, like, nothing's been happening with the movement because the champ hasn't fought. And they finally had the rebooking between him and Max Holloway. And there hasn't been a lot of movement at the top of that division. But now we're getting some of that in this matchup. And this is going to be a huge fight for whoever walks out victorious in this. I mean, Emmett, he's ranked 8th, and Burgos is ranked 11th. So this is a good fight, man. Definitely a must watch. Who's the favorite in this one?
So the favorite in this one, according to Best Fight Odds, across the board, you're looking at Burgos as the favorite, anywhere from minus 150 to minus 170.
Yeah, and I think they got it right, man. Emmett's going to need to rely on that power and just being durable and being able to withstand the punishment from Shane Burgos, the jabbing, the range, the combinations, the liver shots. I don't know who's really teaching over there at Alpha Male with the striking anymore besides Master Tong, but in terms of really keeping these guys crisp and game planning and that type of stuff. But either way, it's a big fight. Emmett didn't get to the top of the division by luck, you know, so he put a lot of time in to get there. And this one's going to be very telling on where he stands.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to support our New York guys. So I think Burgos comes out there with a little bit of that New York fire, a little bit of that hunger out of him. And I think he comes out with it. But yeah, I think the point you made about featherweight is very true. Holloway is ranked number one. Ortega is ranked number two. He's supposed to line up with Korean Zombie. Zabit is number three. He's supposed to line up against Yair. Calvin Cutter is six. He's lining up against Dan Ige. Yeah.
I don't really like that fight. Not to obviously that's a conversation for another day. I don't like that fight for the fact that Ige just fought and he doesn't even have enough time to really let his body heal up. By the time he gets to the fight, he might be healed up. But is he going to be able to train hard? Is he going to just be more drilling, staying in shape with like the cardio type of workouts? But are you going to be able to do any technical work to really prepare? I mean, you can do some touch sparring, but you know, your face, you know, it has to heal up, you know. So, I don't know. It's a tough fight, but Ige's a tough dude, man. So, I'm definitely looking forward to that one as well in a couple weeks.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a great fight, I think. You know, Ige runs into two problems. One, obviously, Cater is the top of the division. And did he really beat Barbosa? I think you could argue either way. And then another one, he changed his own nickname to 50K, and he has one bonus in 17 fights. So I don't really get that. Kind of a lot of unnecessary pressure. But as you said, we'll get to that when we come to it. Maybe our boy Aljo will get the free flight over there to Abu Dhabi. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. The next fight card, the next fight matchup, Raquel Pennington versus Marion Renault. So this is one thing I want to point out. Raquel Pennington, Tisha Torres, I don't know if they're married yet, but I think they might be engaged. First couple, like, I guess, lesbian couple, I guess. Is that the correct term? Political correct term?
Yeah. I have Mark De La Rosa and his wife fought in the same card. I think they did, right?
Yeah. I think the wife won. Montana. Mark came up short. Yep. Mark came up short. But this one's interesting because Tisha Torres and Raquel Pennington, I think it's the first time that they fought on the same card together as an item. You know, so this is going to be a fascinating fight. Manny Renault, she's a black belt. Raquel Pennington, just tough as they come. Took a lot of punishment against Amanda Nunes. Showed her durability and hanging in there. Obviously not the greatest asset to have, but it's something to take into account. Manny Renault isn't the type to land a ton of punishment on the feet. She's probably going to be looking to take the fight down, utilize that black belt against Pennington. So that's going to be a fun fight. Not sure which way to lean with that. Maybe Rocky's up that takedown defense. I'm not sure if she ever struggled with any other female before in that division with takedowns, but she had a split decision with Holly Holm, a lot of good fights throughout her career in the UFC, and I'm looking forward to this one with her. And Tisha Torres, obviously, I'm not sure who Brianna is. Is she making her UFC debut at Shoreway?
So she's a Contender Series veteran.
Okay.
And she... Oh, no, she's actually not. She fought on UFC and ESPN Plus 13 back last year, July of last year, against against Livia Hanada Souza.
Okay, so this should be this, you know, competitive fight. Tisha Torres, tough veteran. She's been around for a while now. Fought the pretty much the who's of the division. Fought Joanna Jędrzejczyk, if I'm not mistaken. So she's got some good skill sets. Obviously, getting up there in age, she's not that old, but you know, getting up there with the fight years. And I think as you get older. If you're 30,
yep.
30, and I'm 30, you know, I'm 31 next month in July. And so it's not old, but I think as you have that tenure within the UFC, for lack of better words, you have to question your desires. Like you start making money after a couple fights, you start to get other things, you start to become interested in other things. I always say to get up and want to go through a full training camp for 8, 10, 12 weeks, it's a very hard and mentally draining thing to do. And I look at the Clay Guidas. I look at the people like who's been around, Jim Miller. Like for you to get up in the morning and want to go train like that, Rafael Sunsell, even a Jorge Masvidal, for you to be excited to get out of bed and want to go train and to have that same eagerness that you had in the very beginning, that same hunger, that same drive to go fight, it's very far and few in between. So that's why I'm interested in this fight because, you know, you could almost say Tisha's I think, what was her last fight?
So she's coming off a 4-fight losing streak. Her last fight was a loss to Marina Rodriguez in August of 2019. Before that, though, so I'm just going to rattle off her last 8 fights. And this is really to your point about being a veteran and really never turning down a fight. Her last
she fought
8
fights, bro.
Yeah, so dating back to April 2016, she lost to Rose Namajunas in April.
Yeah.
That same year, she fought Beck Rawlings, Juliana Lima, and Michelle Waterson. The next year, she fought, yes. And then the next year was when her losing streak started, which was Andrade, Jędrzejczyk, Zhang, and then Rodriguez. So she lost to 3 champions
in a row. That's tough.
I mean, imagine, put yourself in those shoes. What were the champions at 145 and 35? That would be like you fighting Max, Henry, and Volkov.
Robert, Dominic Cruz.
Or Volkanovski.
Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. You know, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I think with that being said, is whether or not Tisha is still in that same mindset, like, hey, I fought the best of the best females in this division, so am I going to let that get me down, or am I going to still have that same motivation, that same drive, knowing that I'm right there, and I'm only losing to the best of the best, so I'm still better than the rest of the pack, but I just got to go out there and prove it. And like I said, the training camps are what's mentally draining, physically draining, so I'm just curious to see what their headspace is like for both of them. Raquel Pennington had a tough fight with Amanda Nunes. You know, that's not an easy type of fight to come back from. You know, she lost to Amanda, lost to Duranda May, beat Irene Aldana, and then lost to Holly Holm. And now she's got an opportunity to get back in the win column. Like I said, it just comes down to mindset. I'm really looking forward to this. Obviously, a couple, their item. I know them both. I've met them personally. I've hung out with both, actually. Yeah, I think I've hung out with both, actually. And I definitely hung out with Tisha at the club. And Hakkasan. I think Raquel was there too. I'm not 100% sure. By the way, I know both ladies, and they're very, very good people. So I'm just interested to see where their headspace is at, and hopefully they can go out there and do their things and shine.
Yeah, and I mean, let's not forget that Rocky came into that Nunes fight like 6 months off of an ATV injury where her whole like leg got fucked up. So, I mean, she wasn't in the best situation to be taking that fight anyway, and it didn't really go her way. But no, I agree with you. I think there's a lot to be said about the emotion kind of going into that, like fighting on the same card. The fact that Tisha fights first in a harder fight, I think, is a little worth pointing out, because so Tisha's 10-5 facing off against Brianna Van Buren, 9-2. And Raquel Pennington's facing off. She's 10-8 against Marion Renault, who's 9-5-1. And like you said, Renault isn't known for her finishing ability or her grappling expertise. So, you know, I would tend to say that Tisha's probably in the easier fight.
Her striking expertise. Yeah, yeah.
So I just think that's an interesting factor where. So have you ever fought in a card where one of your teammates was on it, like before you?
Oh, yeah. I fought with Eddie Truck Gordon and Gian Vellante. I was in the middle of the pack. Actually, I might have been after both guys. I think it was Truck. Then it was Vellante against Corey Anderson. And then it was me, or it was Truck, then me, then Corey Anderson, then Vellante. So either way, I fought with two other guys on the card.
Well, so what's that like? Like, is it more? Do the coaches get more impacted maybe than you do as a fighter? Like, what goes on there?
I don't know. I mean, I only.
Right, everyone's different. So, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, dude, like when I'm fighting, and it kind of brings me back to like a wrestling tournament, wrestling dual meet style, my team versus your team. So for me, it's like we have the lineup of fighters or the lineup of wrestlers. One guy goes, and my guy loses, you know, I'm the rah-rah either way. If we're losing, I can't wait till I'm up. I got to get this one back for the boys, you know. Or if we're winning, I can't let the boys down. I got to keep this train, this gravy train going. You know, now I got the energy. So I feed off of it either way. I'm always a glass half full type of guy, you know, super positive about everything. I try to find the bright side in everything the best way I can. Even though there is times where you should get frustrated, you should curse and yell and just get it out, because I think it's healthy. And to pretend you're perfect all the time and you never get angry or bothered is not really a thing, you know. But and if you are like that, I would hate you for being around me. But definitely. So that's kind of how I take that. You know, the same thing even with Marab when he fought Frankie Saenz. You know, he fought him his debut. He had the flu. This was in Fresno. And then I go out there and I lose, you know. But it is what it is. And then we both fight in Atlantic City. You know, he comes up short again with the Ricky Simone nonsense, and then I go out there and I fight Bert Johns. You know, so either way, I still have the same mental headspace no matter if my teammates are on the card or not, or if they're winning or they're not. Either way, I look at it as I got to do this for my team, and I got to keep the momentum going, or I got to pick it up the energy, the morale for the team, depending on where I am. You know, that's just how I am.
No, that's very well said. I appreciate the insight there. So two more fights that I want to touch on, and now, Joe, if you want to jump in at the end with anything that you want to bring up. So Courtney Casey versus Jillian Robertson. Courtney Casey 9-7 facing off against Jillian Robertson 7-4. I only want to bring this up because I found it really interesting that at the weigh-ins today, we're recording this on Friday, Courtney Casey arrived to the weigh-ins, said that she needed the hoop, which usually would think, okay, I'm going naked, I'm, you know, close. I'm a half pound, a quarter pound, something, you know, tight.
Usually two tenths.
She was under by 2.5 pounds using the hoop. So,
jeez.
I'm not going to say there's some fishiness going on there. We know with Towelgate with DC. I don't know if Hoopgate with Courtney Casey is a thing or with Jessica I last week, but I just thought it was interesting to note that.
Yeah. I know Courtney, and I've met her. I haven't hung out with her, but
both,
you know,
sweet girls,
her.
Both great women.
And I've met her, Robertson. It is unfortunate when one party doesn't cut the weight like you did. That's always going to be crappy because you went the extra mile to do it the right way, and they kind of had the shortcut where their body's not as depleted, which does suck. I'm not sure if this was a case, but no pun intended, Casey. But to need the hoop and then to be 2.5 pounds under is definitely eyebrow raising. You know, I'm raising the wrong eyebrow. I can't do that eyebrow. You know, definitely eyebrow raising for sure. And it is what it is. The same thing I heard about Jessica I. You know, she was allegedly 15 minutes before the weigh-ins for 4.5 pounds over or 4 pounds over. And then she ended up being only 2 times over. And she had an hour and she decided not to give it a shot to finish losing the 2 times. I was confused. I was like, is this 2 times? This, you can just chill and just roll on the floor for a couple minutes and you should lose the weight. But that's my thought process, you know, cause, or do some jumping jacks or even just, you know, just walking, briskly walking or something. Like, you should be able to lose that in an hour. But obviously, there was more to the story than I actually knew. And I still don't officially know. This is all hearsay. But getting back to Casey, yeah, that does suck. You know, it is what it is. Either way, it's going to be a good fight. I'm excited for this one. Casey back in the win column, for her to come up short again would not be good. And obviously for Robertson, I think she lost her last one. She's trying to get back in that win column as well.
Yeah.
And Robertson's got some really, really good jiu-jitsu, you know. So I bang with her in that regards because obviously she's kind of like me. She likes to take you down, get the back, and tries to submit you. She's got good arm bars too. Casey, good striker, well-rounded. I don't know if she's an expert in any one particular area, so this is going to be a good, compelling fight. And I would imagine that the you know, Casey's had a tough run in the UFC, you know. So based on that, I would think that I would have to lean on the side of Robertson, especially she has an area of expertise. If she can get the fight to the ground, I don't know if Casey is able to land on top. Will she be able to pull a Macy Barber and unleash some damaging punishment from that top mount position like Macy Barber did? I don't know. But either way, I think just having an expertise in one area, I always favor that person because if they're at least competent in the striking and they can punch their way in and get a takedown, or they're a specialist with striking and they can at least keep the fight standing for a good amount of time where they can land some inflicting damage like a Israel Adesanya over a Derek Brunson, that type of scenario. So I don't know. This is a fun fight and definitely going to be tuned in to watch this.
Yeah, I think the factor you really hit upon is the small cage. I mean, you see it a lot in the women's division where like one skill set can really take over upon another. And I think it obviously leans in Jillian's favor with the octagon being a little smaller.
Don Alejandro. Yeah, we're live. Well, not live, but kind of live.
Live the tape.
Live tape.
Come on, now hop in, bro. Give us the lettuce. Show us the lettuce.
He's got the slick back going right now.
Italiano, that Ray Longo look, the gangster look.
I don't know who we got next.
Hey, the first guest on the Weekly Scraps podcast.
Yeah.
Hey.
We're just talking some fights. We're talking some fights. Who's the next one we got?
Camacho? I wanted to talk about Roxanne and Lauren, but I just because I like Roxanne. I think she's worth the pub.
You don't but, have to put on a red.
No,
line.
Al. Give Al the stage. Al, what fight on this card are you looking at?
Let's see. What do we got here?
Yeah,
scroll up. Bobby Green and Clay Guida.
Oh, we skipped over that.
That's a good fight right there.
Yeah, you saw the video Dana posted of them with the face-off?
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Yeah, so they come on up, and Bobby Green just lets him have it. He's like, what are you doing, bitch? He's like, why are you hopping around like that, pussy? Like, all this stuff. Just giving it to him. Dana's in the middle, just like, yeah.
Couldn't be two more polar opposite, people.
Yeah.
Bobby Green,
there's almost 100 fights between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Clay Guida's just always full of energy, just puts his head down and goes. Bobby Green, he loves to talk while he's kicking someone's ass. He loves to talk while he's getting his ass kicked. Usually he's getting his ass kicked. But that's a wild fight. That's kind of like a pick'em for me. I'm leaning towards Clay Guida. I think Clay Guida wins. He wins the fights he's supposed to win, and then a lot of times he wins the fights he's not supposed to win. Bobby Green, he finds a way to beat himself all the time.
I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, you guys are in Vegas right now. Clay Guida is a plus 200 underdog. So some down payment money to be made maybe at the books.
That's a good one. That's a good bet.
Yeah, well, I mean, so we were all actually in Newark, I believe, for that Miller-Guida fight, right? Al, were you there?
Miller Guida. Yeah, that was a crazy one.
But so that was one of those fights where it was like, I feel like, honestly, Jim Miller only won because it was in Jersey. It was like he had so much. That arena was louder for him than it was for Kobe at the end. So No, I just thought that was interesting. I remember being at that fight and remembering that Miller and Guida had fought each other.
We did the main event.
Shane Burgos and Josh Emmett. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's fire.
Burgos has been on fire. Emmett's been on fire. Both they have knockout power. Yeah, I mean, I can't. I don't
know. We're leaning towards Burgos in that one.
Yeah, I like Burgos, like, man. That New York hunger.
Definitely has that. Definitely cleaner on the boxing. But Emmett's a really good wrestler. I wrestled with him when I was training out at Alpha Male a little bit. He doesn't use it, I don't think.
At all.
Yeah. I wish he kind of – he's strong, but he hits hard too. So I think –
Well, he's top heavy, right? So you'd think that if he's top heavy, Burgos is a little skinnier. He's a little like – more fluid. Like, you'd think that Emmett would try and impose maybe in the clinch, maybe more against the fence. I don't know if we'll see that. I think he really just likes to stand and bang. So I think you're right that obviously the strength plays into it there a lot more in the clinch, in the grappling. But does he do it? I don't know.
Word. Not agreed. Agreed. And then Volkov and Curtis Blades. Curtis Blades. He said he's going to ragdoll him, and I believe him.
Minus 400.
I think he's going
to. For Blades?
Gonna, yep.
Get that, heavy. Gets that takedown, and.
I just hope he uses some ground and pound to make it, like, make him.
He got 25 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
25 minutes of heavyweight grappling sucks. I'm not afraid to say it.
Don't hug him for 25 minutes. God, please, no. Like he did to Big Pretty Willis.
Yeah.
And he just wrestled him and didn't do anything.
He couldn't finish Big Pretty, man. That was bad.
They posted, the UFC just posted an Instagram video of him elbowing the crap out of somebody.
Overeem.
It was Overeem. Yeah, you know, that's the stuff. He comes with that. He comes with that type of energy. It's going to be a one takedown kind of night, I think. I think he's got the skills to get him down. And once he gets him down, if he's active, you know.
And it's a small cage.
And. The heavyweights. I don't think we've seen a heavyweight fight yet in that little cage. Like real, these guys are real heavyweights. You know, we haven't really.
I don't think so, Al. I think you're right on that.
The cage is like 5'10". The cage is like
it's 25 feet. I mean, so just imagine Blades and Volkov are what, 3 feet wide? That's 6 feet already being taken up of the 25 square feet, whatever, however the fuck the math works.
Yeah, that's a.
That's crazy. Al, dude, good fucking point. I do think this is the first heavyweight fight on the 25-footer.
Talk about fighting in a phone booth.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, that's what happens when you fight in the fucking dog pound crew over there in Long Island. Get prepared.
They want some good training. Come down to the garage, the dog pound.
MMA, bro. Shirt's coming soon.
Shirt's coming soon.
Yes.
You just open it up in Vegas. Boom.
Oh, it's coming. I gotta think it's on its way.
Well, I was pitching. I don't know if Aljo told you, but I texted him and I said, I need a reality TV show that's Property Brothers with Aljo and Al. It's called Fight the Price.
It popped in my head. And then Fight the Price. When Aljo told me Fight the Price, I said, that's an incredible team. And, you know, I couldn't think of it. But if you would have videotaped maybe like the last week of Aljo and I. Aljo started first, really looking. He won his fight. He's, you know, got that fat paycheck in his bank account. He was going, you know, looking.
I was out.
He was on the hunt. It didn't take him long to find something. And then just the, you know, the interaction with the both of us. We both have similar, like real estate. Theories a little different in some ways, but the way I think it would make for some pretty interesting TV, definitely.
Well, hey, Weekly Scrappers, coming up next on the Aljamain Sterling YouTube channel, Fight the Price, coming soon.
Fight the Price.
Coming soon when the market turns back up, ideally.
We got to get like a camera guy, like a good camera guy to like come around with us. To document some stuff and who could chop it up. Man, if we could get that, man, 1-2 cameras, I think it'll be golden.
Oh, that part's easy. I was talking to Ray today. I got him to I'm trading him a mitt session for some videography. So we're gonna get over there to Long Island at some point. I know I've been talking about it for a while.
Nice. Yeah, I got a bunch of requests from the post I put, but a lot of the guys were like older guys who had kids and stuff. I'm like, dude, I need like a kid who's looking to like learn and grow, not like a grown man that has
Steve or Zuka or Pumi and tell him, show him how to use a camera.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would want them to train and be a part of it more than anything. To help them build up their style, right? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think we're
guys stars in the making, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, bro, I mean, Al, have you seen the response on your hair, bro? I mean, it's you guys and your hair at this point. Like, people are
I've been getting some good response. I've been getting some good. I'm getting some haters too. You need a haircut. That quarantine's not doing you good. Jesus, everyone's got something to say. But I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Fuck them.
It's I've never grown my hair. I always had like the same haircut since I was. Kids,
yo, quarantine's got me the same way, bro. I had mine. Mine was long enough that I had a man bun, and I literally took it as a man bun, and I fucking cut it.
Just cut it right there?
Just with scissors, bro. I was not having it. It looks so bad.
I think I'm going to keep it going. I'll get to that point. We'll see what happens, you know?
Well, if you can get to the point where when Aljo had that juice box fade, just copy that. But it'll be curly. It'll look like a Ben Askren hybrid.
I don't know if it'll ever, like, go down. I don't know if it'll ever be like a long, you know what I mean? I think it's just gonna keep going out. I don't know. Like
O'Malley style.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it, bro. I like it. It's getting people excited for your next fight, man. All I'm hearing is people want to see Ally Quinta fight. I'm like, I want to see Ally Quinta make money. That's all I care about, man.
Ah, me too. There's a lot of things I like to do. That's about the top, you know.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right.
All right, boys. Well, I'm going to swing this over in the post edit onto the single screen. Aljo, Al, why don't you take us out on this episode of the Weekly Scraps?
That's it. Thanks for tuning in, motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers. We're out.
Better hit that like button and that subscribe button, and we'll see you soon.
Peace.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.